feeling like my elevated sense of humor was offended by the crudity of something like Celebrity Deathmatch. But at least there were fucking attempts at humor. Now it's just no. The joke is that they're all sad.
No, there's jokes in BoJack Horseman.
Yeah,
there are jokes in it.
Yeah.
Season 3, episode 14, the depressed horse shithead realizes that his attempts to spurn an open relationship are stemming from him neglecting intimacy that stems from childhood issues. Good thing I brought my hand, because that shit is a fucking knee slapper.
So what?
I love that show.
Comedy can't play with serious topics? Isn't that what our show sometimes does?
No, especially since the way it does it is the same as all these fucking shows, which is to say, you know, this guy's a piece of shit, but he's aware that he's a piece of shit, but that's not enough. But then he's just going to keep knowing he's a piece of shit.
Well, it's
not
a sitcom. It has
anything.
To go on.
I mean, it's like every show.
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I've never seen the show.
That's fair.
I've decided that I don't like it. I don't think that comedy should ever take on serious topics. In fact, I think that the height of comedy was when the main comedic genre was like fat guy trying to move a safe.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the show's weakest point, I think, are its very feeble attempts at satire. But I think what it does very well is it makes the horse's tribulations like that of a man.
Oh, that's wait. So he's doing the thing a person would do.
But he's a horse.
He's a fucking horse.
Holy shit, dude.
Dude, oh my god. What if a Budweiser Clydesdale self-harmed?
I got one for you. How would that show be any different if none of them were animals?
There's jokes in the show about them being animals.
You say the show has jokes. The jokes are literally the puns because they're animals.
Yeah, there are puns.
That's the only jokes
animals.
Are puns. The lowest form of humor. So it's depression and
there's
puns.
There's other jokes. There's banter.
Oh, right.
Okay, what if BoJack Horseman was on Celebrity Deathmatch against Agent Smith from The Matrix? And Agent Smith was like, "Looks like you're going to the glue factory, Mr. Horseman."
How about this?
That would be fucking
BoJack
awesome.
BoJack Horseman, Celebrity Deathmatch versus the horse head from The Godfather. See?
Oh, okay.
Now you're talking. That's the kind of thinking that made that show brilliant.
Coming up next, a very special episode of BoJack Horseman, the one where Steve Platypus kills himself.
So who's
the show's also increasing? You like this, Felix? The show's also increasing asexual representation in media.
All right, now we're cooking with gas.
Another knee slapper.
I prefer the intellectual and sexy cartoon for adults of an earlier era, Aeon Flux on MTV, Liquid Television.
Yeah. Aeon Flux was honestly too scary for me as a kid, and it's too scary for me now.
I was terrified by how skinny everyone was. It was just they're emaciated. No, thank you.
A little thing called Stripperella.
Oh, hell yeah. Stan Lee was involved in that.
He was.
Yeah.
It was in a block with Spike TV's adult animation block with the Ren and Stimpy where they're gay and they fuck.
Yeah.
And Gary the Rat.
Oh, God. Who would have thought that this would be like the high point of cartoons?
Yeah. The high point of Western culture. That's the culture Trump wants to defend.
We make fun of the late 90s so much, but if you told us at the time, this is the best it's ever going to get, I'd be like, no way, dude.
Yeah, I would
no
be like,
way.
Fuck you. We Man, could do better than the Partridge Family killing the Manson family with a machine gun. We could do better than that. Turns out, no, can't do better than that. 9/11 happens, there's depression, and then everyone's brains explode, and now all we get is sad horses.
Nanette 2. Yeah, it rocks. Well, let's look at the news. Get away from this depressing topic.
Let's take a look at the front pages to take our minds off of all this bad comedy out there.
All right.
It's so depressing.
It's bad.
It sucks so bad.
It's bad.
So let's rewind the clock to the beginning of the week. We talked about it on
Monday.
Wednesday. The main news story that dominated the week up until, a couple days ago was, of course, the pipe bombs being mailed to prominent Democrats and Robert De Niro.
Yes. And we...
And that story sort of... It resolved itself fairly quickly and predictably in that the person who did it was just honestly one of the stupidest, a deeply stupid, insane man.
Okay, well, you say that now, but what if he had succeeded? You'd be like, that guy's smart.
And A, as we said, Fox News brain destroyed Boomer.
As I said.
We all said that.
You weren't on that episode, Virgil, so no one knows that you said that.
Owned.
Well, so look at you trying to steal prediction valor.
I know for a fact you were afraid that it wasn't a Fox News MAGA.
No, I thought it was probably a Fox News grandpa, but I said in private, it seems weird how literally none of them work. By accident, if you sent 13 bombs, one of them would go off. Turns out, not if you are this incredible moron. This Fox News stripper with the Trump decal van, he's like a late boomer, early Xer, exactly when we would have imagined.
Another interesting thread to the Caesar Sayoc story is that he's also stealing Native American valor.
Yes,
he has claimed multiple times that he's part of the undefeated Seminole tribe.
Yeah.
But apparently that is also bullshit.
Yeah, I can't.
No,
believe
okay. I was willing to hear him out before, but now that I know he's lying about this, that's honestly.
Oh, so what you're saying is he's running for the Senate in Massachusetts?
Real time.
He had a lawsuit against Chippendales or something because he had some sort of rival stripping company that was using their copyrighted material, something like that. And he was claiming that he was working for Chippendales, they said no.
Yeah, that's
not
normal MAGA stuff. You have lawsuits against Chippendales, a lawsuit against Circuit City, though they don't.
If you read
anymore.
His tweets, if you read his tweets and look at the van, it's clear that he is impaired in some way.
But also not indistinguishable from like 100 million people on Twitter.
Completely identical.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought the most interesting thing was that he had his house foreclosed on after the mortgage crisis by a company that illegally robo-signed his mortgage, which happened all over the place, and then was later bought by Steve fucking Mnuchin's bank. So his beloved Trump's Treasury Secretary helped steal his house from him.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's wonderful.
Do you think that made it onto any bumper sticker on his car?
I don't think so. No.
Thank you, Mr. Mnuchin. Mr. Mnuchin, you have given me the honor and dignity to live in my van.
And thank you for Suicide Squad again, sir. It was a thrill ride.
Just as a quick side addendum here, I would say it's very fair to say, won't be reading replies, do not at me about this.
Okay.
With every extra bumper sticker you have, like 1, 2, 3, equals an exponentially increasing level of insanity.
I think that's a very, very...
Yes.
That's a solid...
Like, if you see someone
equation.
With the back of their car has over 7 bumper stickers, walk away.
It's true.
Don't make eye contact with them. Just slowly back away.
Irregardless
of their political content.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
In college, I had this tennis instructor who was like a...
What?
Wait a minute. What?
Bearing the lead.
How
here,
many
Rudy?
Fucking chapters are in your life, Dick Whitman?
And he was this like hardcore like 9/11 truther, and he went around...
I can't believe you've been sitting on this.
It's like shitty beat up car, and he drove around, and there were pictures of American and Israeli war crimes on the windows of his car.
What?
This guy sounds cool.
He must have been a really good tennis instructor.
And he said, like, yeah, people don't like it when I drive down the interstate. Get a lot of nasty looks and honks.
But you know what? Your serve was never better, so totally worth it.
Ace every time.
The only time like I ever want to drive is just to get the most confusing bumper stickers possible. Like I want like keep honking. I'm thinking of a free Cypress. Like just I don't even know what they mean. Like just baffle everyone who drives behind me. Yeah. It'll be worth the accidental vehicular murder I commit. Okay, most confusing bumper stickers go. Okay, I got Obama isn't Muslim. If he was, he'd wash his hands. People are just like, is this pro or anti? What? What the fuck are you talking about?
Don't like my driving? Go vote November 6th.
Matt, what you got?
My other car is my wife. I don't know.
Okay.
I got one. Abortion stops my beating heart.
Okay. We already had domestic gladio. It's called circumcision. That's pretty straightforward, though.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no,
I would have
actually,
that.
We're getting
sticker.
Into my real opinions here.
If you tailgate me, convert to Islam.
So, yeah, no, I think I'm buying a car.
Oh, here's one more. Calvin peeing on another Calvin's face.
Ooh, okay.
That's like, you know, that's just like a Ouroboros.
How about exactly. Calvin peeing on a word, but the word is disrespect? And it makes you think like it's like
is he being
about
disrespectful psych- or is right. he saying being a pro respect?
Dude, it's part of my it's a viral marketing campaign for my awful new film, Cycles of Hate. That's about the lives of six people who intersect in New York City and how
by the
prejudices.
Way, this is an absolutely true and baffling bumper sticker. There's a guy on this very block who I see his car parked all the time, and he has a back window decal that says it's the Sons of Anarchy logo, but it says New York chapter.
Yeah, we don't have any motorcycles out here. We're the world's only motorcycle club that rides the subway, baby.
Anyway, you know those family stickers? That, but it's all nine Supreme Court justices.
Oh, fuck you.
That would be very baffling, because no one likes all of them.
I do.
Yeah,
I'm no. rooting. There. That's my team. Some people got the Red Sox. I got the Supreme Court.
That sucks so much, Virgil, and someone's going to make it. I fucking hate it. Dude.
Amazon
Thank
gift
you.
Card of the week goes to Virgil for the Supreme Court Justice bumper sticker idea. So, yeah, there's the pipe bomb story, which had the added benefit of, you know, slightly frightening, but more absurd than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, like this really was just like someone whose brain has been melted by Fox News. The internet and his already extant mental illness decided to just send pipe bombs to like everyone he saw on the news.
Everyone who was mean to his beloved Donald Trump.
Okay, so there was that, and of course people were already in high dudgeon over that one because you know it involves attacks on the media and this overall question that we've been talking about again, that this political climate of tribalism and, you know, disrespect and violence and, oh, how are we ever going to get better or change or blah, blah, blah. Then, of course, the weekend rolled around and I woke up on Saturday to find out that some fucking right-wing lunatic neo-Nazi had walked into a synagogue in Pittsburgh and just slaughtered 11 people, mostly elderly Jewish people. And that one is just horrific and awful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what else to say about it other than the fact that, hey, if you ever even remotely were concerned about the caravan or concern trolled the idea that it is just an absolute racist hysteria, guess what? You believe exactly as the guy who shot those 11 people did.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, he attacked this synagogue very specifically and in his own words because of a Jewish community group that was working to resettle refugees in America. He tweeted about the caravan, I think, about an hour before he walked in the door of that synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
He was obsessed with the idea that, you know, what did they shout at Charlottesville? The Jew will not replace us. He was obsessed with the idea that Jews are financing the replacement of whites by third world immigration in America. This is an idea that is aired on the conservative media and in Fox News, probably about, an hour before the shooting and, you know, probably even after it.
Yeah, that's mainstream Republican thought.
I mean, like 1 degree removed, but I mean, they're winking at it. I mean, they say George Soros all the time. Like, that's their stand. They don't say Jews are doing this, but they just say George Soros and like, liberal elites. You know, like it's couched in those terms. But yeah, this has been a staple. This is at the bottom of all of this country's anti-immigrant hysteria and paranoia. There is that idea. This is the idea that motivated that guy. This is why he killed 11 people. He said to the cops after, they're doing a genocide to my people, all Jews must die. This is just straight up neo-Nazi, alt-right, white genocide fantasia.
Yeah.
Based around this idea that the caravan represents an invasion of America or a clear and present threat to, you know, our lives here in America. Economic refugees from Honduras just desperately trying to cross Mexico or seek asylum in the United States.
There was a lot of backflipping after the shooting, a lot of sort of contorting their own bodies to fit what had just happened with the right, who had just, you know, spent the last month screaming about people being rude to the DHS lady at the Mexican restaurant, people being unfair to Jeff Flake, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so, taking on this very precious definition of violence. And the most violent people in our entire political arena just sort of become pablum. Let's raise awareness of the issues. Let's raise awareness of violence. All lives matter shit whenever this happens, because the moment that you actually start to think about it, it is what Will said. Just the logical conclusion of Kevin McCarthy tweeting about how George Soros is funding some great replacement, anything like that.
And the thing is that they're actually stuck with it, which is why they're pushing back so hard and not really doing the sort of apology you would expect after an attack of this magnitude, because there is no other explanation. They have nothing else to sell people when they're trying to explain what's going on in the world, because there is a straightforward explanation for things like refugees and the caravan and everything that people are scared of. I mean, you have a combination in Central America of countries that have essentially collapsed into not failed states with the help of American military coups and genocides carried out only in the last 30 years. And also reports now that a lot of people in Central America who are trying to move out are people in small holding farms that can't grow anything anymore, because all of a sudden there's not any water for some reason. Something's happening.
Well, and the country they're coming from, Honduras, by the way, they had an election that was overturned by a coup supported by this country and Hillary Clinton personally, the guy, Secretary of State.
They overthrew a guy who wanted to redistribute land and maybe make it easier for a poor person to stay in Honduras. And that's pretty straightforward. But if you can't accept that as the explanation for this thing, you have to have some sort of conspiracy, because it's the only way to square the circle of what's going on. And so it's the same thing with the way they talk about Soros, and there's a straightforward argument about the influence of money in politics. It's that all the rich scumbags use their money to control the agenda of the government. But their idea is no, these guys like the Kochs or whatever, they're all just concerned American citizens who want what's best for everybody. George Soros, you'll notice when they talk about Soros, they don't talk about him having any kind of a self-interested agenda. It's always he has this like long-term plan to like replace the white people or do some sort of subversion of our democracy. It's like, well, what does that get him? Like, how does it serve his interest? It only serves his interest if he has some sort of alien agenda that you couldn't make sense of because he's different from you in some fundamental way, i.e., he is a Jewish lizard man.
And of course, you know, what happened on Saturday is the single worst hate crime perpetrated against Jewish people in American history. 11 mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
That's insane. But of course, we know where this is going. Again, and it could not be clearer who did this and why. This is a guy who hated Jews. He hated black people. He hated immigrants. He hated Muslims. This is a guy stewed in right-wing propaganda and media who, committed an act of mass murder on behalf of his very clear racist right-wing beliefs. But we know where this is going, of course. I've already seen in the at least a half dozen articles about this or tweets about this. It's all going to be it's going to be about how anti-Semitism is so bad and we have to come together to confront anti-Semitism, be it the guy who just murdered 11 people or Louis Farrakhan or BDS or anti-Zionism. And they're already trying to do that in conjunction with the Israeli foreign minister. Or they're like who the fuck is that guy?
Naftali Bennett, the education minister who, among other things, is basically, anyone below an Orthodox Jew isn't really a Jew, et cetera, et cetera. He believes in a version of white genocide for Jews. To those Zionists, it's like, well, congratulations. You got the fucking world you wanted. All that fucking Netanyahu shaking hands with fucking Viktor Orban, probably the single most anti-Semitic world leader on the fucking planet. This is what you wanted. It is the destruction of the assimilation of American Jews into American life. You got exactly what you fucking wanted. And for all the people that spent all of earlier this year talking about Farrakhan or Linda Sarsour or fucking whatever, it's going to come for you too. And just don't fucking cry when you get what you want.
Well, Felix, I'm going to miss you. I hope the ping is good in Tel Aviv.
They got one thing going for them.
Well, I mean, and this is part and parcel of a huge and concerted effort to portray Jeremy Corbyn as a vicious anti-Semite, to portray Bernie Sanders as an anti-Semite.
That's a cool one.
And this is all taking place in the background of, as Felix referenced, Netanyahu literally shaking hands and allying himself with Viktor Orban and the far right-wing nationalists in Europe. They don't want Jews in their country. And guess what? Neither does Netanyahu. He wants Jews to feel afraid everywhere in the world so that they'll all come and live in Israel.
Yeah, it is.
In his, fucking ethnos.
So he'll have friends.
It is like a perfect marriage because they are on the same page about Muslims and they both want no Jews in their country.
What does what do the you know Israeli Zionist and the far right winger in Europe or America share? It's that they hate the squishy little fucking pussy diaspora Jew.
Yeah,
more than anything,
because that's what they hate about Jews. Like, if they're not like weird, like you know, biological racists, what they hate about Jews is that they don't have a country. Then, therefore, they can't be part of the nation, and then they're not trustworthy, and that they want to undermine all of your solid, you know, social orders that exist because they can't be part of it. Well, if you send them to Israel, then it's amazing how quickly they develop all those things.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: they're every single anti-Semite in the world of any real consequence or power. And I'm not talking about like alt-right gripers or people posting on the internet. I'm talking about actually anti-Semitic world leaders, media figures, politicians. Guess what? They all love Israel, mm-hmm. including our new friend in Brazil, Bolsonaro.
Yes.
Another, I mean, and this is the next thing that honestly depressed me more than anything this week. Is the election of Bolsonaro in Brazil an outright fascist?
Yeah.
This is a guy.
No question about that one.
He's an outright fascist who has spoken openly about the fact that he is going to, he immediately wants to murder probably tens of thousands of people extrajudicially, torture, kill them, then bulldoze the fucking rainforest and kill every last indigenous person still living there. Yeah, like an out and out open fascist. Brazil's actual president has been sent to jail by that fucking country.
Former, yeah.
For the former president, yeah.
But he likes Israel, so he can't be a fascist.
Oh, no, he likes Israel. No, he's a big fan of Israel. A lot of his supporters love waving Israeli flags. He plans to visit there soon. You know, do you really think Bolsonaro or Viktor Orban, do you think they like Jewish people personally? No, obviously not. But yeah, though they love Israel. They love Israel, and... Yeah, be prepared for it because you're about, if you have any level of criticism of the Israeli state or of Zionism in general, get ready to be guilted into believing otherwise.
Well, I mean, new hero of the resistance, Max Boot, has a tweet just now where he says, speaking of anti-Semitic dog whistles, it's not only globalists and George Soros. Neocon is often used the same way by haters.
Oh, oh my God, Max, are you okay, dude?
That is
Where's your cash.me, dude?
That is
are you all right?
That's too
Oh,
much.
You fucking worm. What a fucking... Oh, my fucking God.
Too much boot.
Oh, my...
That's a lot
it's
of
not
boot.
Enough. It's not enough for
That's
him.
That's a
it's enough boot. It's enough.
It's not enough for him to just, like, crawl back into the world after helping birth this out of his fucking diseased urethra. He has to retroactively, you know, make it unfair to criticize him or Bill Kristol or any of these other fucking assholes that got us into this place.
That is the most nauseating thing. Is
fuck
these
yourself.
Fucking scumbags are the architects of a huge percentage of the current crisis that we're in. And they just walked away from it. And then they're like, you know what? Let me tell you how to fix this. This thing I helped make.
Sorry. You broke the fucking world. And now it's the same as shooting 11 fucking Jews to death in a synagogue to call you what you fucking are. Go fuck yourself.
Honestly, what was so repellent about the immediate responses to the shooting was so many people like Maximum Boot.
To the most boot you can have.
Whose instinct was to use this to grind some other axe, whether it was they're mad about Farrakhan or they're mad about being called a neocon.
I'm sorry, again.
Good Lord.
I know I...
Or they're mad at Sanders.
Well, again, I can't believe I have to say this, but I think it, you know, bears stating. Nation of Islam members are not walking into synagogues and gunning down Jewish people. Linda Sarsour isn't. BDS activists aren't just openly killing Jews in the streets of America. It's this guy, fucking Bauer. And, you know, guess what? He was on Gab and fucking, like, every other right-wing fucking shithole. Like, that is who are the... There is no fucking equivalent to this on the left, and I'm using that in quotes.
No, not at all.
Farrakhan's
a right-wing reactionary.
He's
by
a
right, fucking...
Yeah.
by anything, economically, culturally. He is a right winger.
And as far as an axe to grind, the addendum to, oh, like, you know, anti-Zionism is just as dangerous to the Jewish people of America than, like, you know, full-on neo-Nazism and white nationalism, is this idea that, oh, you know, you can't, you know, like, only this man is responsible for his actions. And, you know, you, like, you know, don't use this to grind an axe against the president. No, fuck that. Trump is absolutely responsible for this shit. I mean, responsible in so much as he has opened the gates to all this. He is fine that his supporters believe all this shit. He makes no difference to him. And I think, as I've said over and over again, it's not that, like, he says to his support, oh, go out and kill Jewish people. But in him being president and him saying the things that he does and the people he surrounds himself with, and, you know, like his language about the caravan and Soros and the media being the enemy of the people, I think he has given people who are inclined to do that essentially a kind of permission.
Well, that's the thing, is that the way he explains what's going on in this country and in the world to rile up these rubes, I don't think he necessarily wants them to draw these anti-Semitic conclusions and these racist conclusions. I don't think he cares. But it's the inevitable thing, because it's the only way to explain the world. If you believe this, if you believe that there's this conspiracy, that things aren't, you know, operating on any kind of recognizable material basis, that this is, that isn't just capital accumulation, you know, working its way out in imperialism, then you have to fucking have villains, identifiable people, not forces or classes, and then they have to have an obscure and occult agenda. And so people are going to make people have to draw the conclusion, because there's no other way to make sense of it. Otherwise, it's just noise, and you don't want that. You want it to be concrete enough for people to put their hands around, so that they'll stay on your side and keep going to your rallies and voting for your guys, and staying activated, because that's what he has honestly done, unlike any president I've seen, is trying to keep his voters activated after he won. Which is basically the opposite of what Obama did, and which most presidents, not even Bush, very few of them have even cared to do. He is trying to keep these people in that election day fervor all year, all day, throughout his entire presidency. And that's kind of never been done before.
Which is surprising, because it makes sense to do that.
No, it's smart politics, but the thing is, these people are going to keep getting more anxious about it. Well, because they got to keep being more and more scared of this. They have to keep worrying about the caravan. They have to worry about the consequences of the caravan. Maybe they've got rabies. Maybe they've got super airborne rabies.
I want to clarify this point, because it almost sounds like you're saying, oh, the Republicans have just chosen this tactic of stoking white supremacy in the country. Whereas maybe they could have run on something else, like taxes or whatever. But I believe that it's the case that it's not a choice. It's a necessity, because that is fundamental to their movement, whatever it is right now.
Well, I think that they wouldn't necessarily take it if they had other options. But I think you're right that they don't have other options, because it's the only thing that gets popular passions up. You're not going to get people to stay this motivated on tax cuts. It's not going to work, even though that's what you actually want. And that's what, for most of these people, all they really care about. That's not going to keep these hooting dipshits showing up at these rallies with their Q shirts. They need another story. They need something more visceral and terrifying, something with enemies, something with monsters, something where they can be heroes and fight against them. And that's not going to work with fucking tax cuts and getting rid of the fucking the mandate for Obamacare.
I mean, that's why I have to figure, like, you know, the country that I grew up in, which is like the best country in the fucking world to live if you're a Jew, it's not going to be the case, because it's sort of a miracle, right, that we haven't had as much of a cultural anti-Semitism as, like, France, right? Because we're one of the least fucking class conscious countries on earth.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of anti-Semitism, I think, like, a lot of it is just, it's people who have, like, never fucking met a Jewish person, and you live somewhere where there's just no one like that. You live this fucking shitty life that sucks, and you turn on TV and you see, like, Lloyd Blankfein or somebody, and you don't really know what a Jew is. You don't know, like, the cultural history or the consequences of the history of anti-Semitism, or, you know, a billion things you would have to know, like, okay, Why is there this separate group of white people that's like very powerful? You would just have to suddenly figure that this is an alien group that just wants to harm you, and not just that, like, okay, some like German Jews had to take, like, they ended up in finance and there's an achievement thing, it was part of assimilation, blah, blah, blah. But it's going to get worse from here because, yeah, the only thing that will keep people coming out is that election day fervor. And that the only reason most of these people vote is because fuck the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They're not excited about anything else they're going to do. Like, if you fucking run a strict poll, this is exactly what the tax bill is. This is exactly what X is. This is exactly what Y is. They're not fucking excited for that. But if this is the only thing that keeps Republicans coming out, yeah, we're gonna become more like Hungary or somewhere like that.
We talk about one guy in particular, which is very germane to this discussion of, like, is the Republican Party as it's currently constituted, like, is there any difference between the modern Republican Party and just like a white nationalist political party? Steve King of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Steve King of Iowa, Republican congressman, he is the closest thing in America that we have to like an openly white nationalist politician.
He's a European style right winger.
He just the other week went some funded junket where he visited Auschwitz in Poland. He visited Auschwitz and then immediately after it gave an interview to an extremely right wing Austrian newspaper, I think, where he said it was very profound and moving, but I felt the need to get a non-Jewish perspective on the Holocaust. I wanted a Polish perspective on the Holocaust, and I wanted to find out if the communists were worse than the Nazis.
You know what happened is he went to Auschwitz, and then he snuck downstairs into the room with a bunch of filing cabinets, and he opened up the box that says Jewish Lies, and he found the documents.
God, they gotta honestly put a guard on that door. It's like, it's getting embarrassing. But first, Fred Leuchter goes in there, and now this guy, Jesus Christ.
But, you know, Steve King, as far as I can tell, he doesn't actually do anything for his constituents in Iowa. He doesn't pass any, like, he doesn't sponsor any bills, really. What he does do is go on press junkets with, like, you know, yeah, far-right nationalist politicians in Europe. Geert Wilders, that fucking lunatic, and, you know, other very explicitly white nationalist political movements in Europe. And then he says things like, you know, we can't have a future with someone else's babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a year ago, Jonathan Chait wrote an article in New York where he was once again doing what he always does, scolding the left for being too bellicose or too quick to tar the entire, you know, right wing in this country with the sort of alt-right neo-Nazi label. And Steve King was one of the, you know, examples. And I asked him, it was one of the only times he ever replied to me on Twitter, where I said, John, how would you categorize this quote? And it was the quote about we can't have a future with other people's babies. And he said, oh, you know, I think that's, you know, sort of edging closer to alt-right, but not openly white nationalist. And it's just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Wait, what distinctions are you drawing here, John? And why? And I think it's, again, very telling if you want to, like, think about, you know, fascism as the rise of fascism as a historical phenomenon. This is what guys like Jonathan Chait do. They would never ever be as ruthless or parsing to the fucking right wing as they are to the left.
Edging is a good description of Jonathan Chait's writing process.
Yeah, absolutely.
It
looks like you're trying to sign into white nationalism. Tell me how many school buses are in this picture, and I will decide if you're actually a Nazi. Thanks, John.
Steve King very helpfully kind of laid it on the table. Somebody confronted him about hanging out with all these psychos, you know, there's like Eusters Vander racism and all these psychos, like, you know, from the like Austrian cricket hate crime party. And he goes, hey, these guys would all be Republicans if they were in the United States. And he's correct. They would be. We've only got two parties. They really don't have anywhere else to go. They would definitely be Republicans.
Steve King is like, you got to feel for him in a way, because he's literally just, he's like, what do I have to do? He's like looking for Hitler's ashes to rub them on his face. And he's like, no, I'm this.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Chait is like, I think he's like a Newt Gingrich Republican.
So many of these guys are like him in that they're just media figures. They don't really have any kind of, they don't have even an agenda. They're just kind of hanging out, and they love triggering the libs, and people love watching them trigger the libs. And it really just shows how hollow even their idea for politics is that it really is just spectacular acts of outrageous racism that get people mad at them. It's not really even designed to be and even constructive even on their terms. It's just It's just nihilistic provocation.
Right. And then the next obvious step, if you have a political movement that is not really dedicated to anything other than nihilistic provocation against libs and Jews and immigrants, are nihilistic spectacles of violence.
Yeah.
That's the next step, and that's what happened in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, like, you know, Bauer and, you know, Gab is a natural outgrowth of all of this.
Yeah. This whole moment is sort of instructive in that it kind of shows, especially coming at the exact same time as the election in Brazil, is that it really does show how the difference basically between fascism as a coherent and effective political movement and fascism as sort of an ambient cultural feeling. In Brazil and the United States are good comparisons to point that. Brazil is almost a textbook sort of postmodern fascist situation where you had like a social democratic president presiding over an economic and social crisis, so the high crime and a stalling economy, basically get couped through the functions of the administrative state. She was removed from office in impeachment proceedings that was highly dubious by a bunch of incredibly crooked conventional conservative senators. Most of whom had done things far worse than anything she was even accused of. And by the way, when Bolsonaro, who was in the Senate and voted to impeach her, did so, he dedicated his vote to impeach her to the guy who had tortured her when she had been an insurgent during the Dirty War when they had the dictatorship. And when they removed her from office, the guy that replaced her, Michel Temer, from the old-fashioned establishment right, basically had no popular support, no legitimacy. By the end of his term, he had something like 2% approval rating, as Amber talked about on the episode she did with Ben Fogel. Just no popular support at all. Their attempt to sort of just decapitate the left was totally without the sort of grounding in a popular mandate that would have made it stable in the long term. And so what happened is that a party led by this guy who'd been a bozo and a clown and just a far-right provocateur for all of his career in government that had been a very small party just filled the gap and became this massive transracial to a degree and trans-class party that harnessed all of the resentment of corruption and failed economic development against basically the left party that had been in power for so long into this effective mass organization. And one of the good definitions, pocket definitions of fascism, Robert Paxton says, is it's the suppression of the left amidst popular enthusiasm. And that's what happened. That's Bolsonaro. It is the conventional right, the establishment right, wanted to suppress the left party once and for all, but did not have the legitimacy to do it on a long-term basis. And boom, this movement arises to fill the gap. And that's fascism. And so now we have an out fascist as president of Brazil.
Ninth largest economy in the world, by
yes,
the way.
Yeah,
I believe. Massive country.
Yeah, the fifth largest country in population. And they're going to bulldoze the fucking rainforest.
Which,
they're
by the way,
bulldoze the favelas.
The what's left of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil, which has already been deeply, deeply decimated just in the course of our lifetime.
They'll finish that off.
He's now saying he's going to turn it all over to agribusiness and basically kill every indigenous person.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, the Amazon rainforest provides, I think, a quarter of the world's oxygen.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest carbon sinks in the world, but that's fine.
Don't really need it. It's only a quarter.
In an era of the UN says we have a decade to handle global warming, cutting down all of the fucking trees we have left that absorb carbon is definitely going to help. But as I said, so that is fascism on the march as a mass movement with purpose, with support of the elites, and with actual voters, with an actual popular base of support among actual citizens. What we have in the United States is still the establishment right-wing party, the Republicans, who are losing legitimacy to the same degree that the Democrats are in this sort of slow rolling, continuing crisis that we've had ever since the economic collapse, because we never really recovered from it. And we're just sort of, you know, reinflating the same bubbles that led it to it in the first place. And they're just going to pop again. And that legitimacy is weakening. And to sort of prop up their support, they are courting these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
to the degree so that stuffed shirts like Paul Ryan and you know, John Boehner and these guys who don't really give a shit about anything but the tax code can stay in power, and they're happy to use a clownish buffoon figure like Donald Trump as the charismatic front man for that.
They care, but they want the judges too.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, in the long run, if the crisis continues, and certainly if we have another collapse, that patina of institutional legitimacy that they still have is going to be even further eroded, and that's when you have to start thinking about a genuine fascism as a feature of American politics in the streets. But that's also going to depend on whether or not the left begins to pose an actual threat, which they haven't until now. But we'll see. I mean, that's the thing, is that the left is also starting to emerge and gain power and influence and try to change the agenda and the dynamic. And that's the kind of thing that can lead to the right turning to these sort of fascist movements to try to counter it.
I think that distinction is a very good one, and keeping in mind and like the contrast between, like you said, fascism as a sort of ambient cultural frequency and it as a actual mass movement,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think we have in this country.
No, not yet.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean just because it's weak now, it shouldn't be, you know, opposed all the more vigorously because of the fact that, you know, better now than later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just want to start briefly about the Gab thing, because
mm-hmm.
I've been enjoying that, because I want to say briefly about, so Gab is currently being deplatformed because the Pittsburgh shooter had an account on it and he announced his intention to kill these people on Gab.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gab is basically just like an incubator for future school or mass shooters. And what I find interesting about it is that they pose as like, we're defending free speech on the internet. But as soon as this guy killed these people, they censored his account. What happened to his free speech, dude?
Disgusting.
Yeah.
We need a new Gab. Gab is yeah. fucking bullshit.
They're cucked. I'm starting a class action lawsuit for the shooters, guys posting rights on Gab. I mean, it is amazing how fucking short our cultural memories are, because I remember, for instance, when the sort of culture tilted, like popular culture tilted a little more center right wing than it did now. The right wing campaign against like the fucking Dixie Chicks was more obnoxious and more punitive and more insane than like even the most fucking stupid sort of liberal culture like cancel X causes.
Yeah, nobody since the Bush years has driven in public fucking steamrollers over albums. Maybe that's because we don't have albums anymore. Just drive over a bunch of phones playing Spotify or something.
They're already flat.
but I think we need to remember, though, you know. I mean, I don't shed any tears for what happens to Gab, but the way that this is going to be diffused, the way this movement is going to be diffused and defeated, is not going to be through any kind of corporate decision.
The
mods are not saving us.
Right.
The only thing that's going to save it is a revitalized and muscular left movement that seizes control of this country, frankly, before it fucking crashes into the fucking ditch.
Do you trust, like, Jack Dorsey, the 41-year-old man with a nose ring, and like his team of confused people in another country who don't really speak the language, being forced to work support for like 32 cents an hour? That's your vanguard?
Yeah.
I
think
not good, man.
The one thing that would help, and the one thing that I'd like to see, are these earnest, I'll presume they're earnest and sincere resistance liberal types coming to terms with the fact that there's no such thing as valorous Republicans or valorous conservatives, and that
they're not
American conservatism, you know, it just boils down to white supremacy up and down, from the Steve King out and out Nazi types to the Paul Ryan types who, you know, want to destroy the federal government on which so many non-whites rely.
By the way, just saw a story yesterday about in Georgia, a bus full of elderly African-American voters being taken to early voting on Monday were pulled over by Georgia State troopers and essentially forced out of the bus and sent back for doing illegal political work or something like that. It's just like, could not be more obvious.
Yeah, 30% of electronic voting booths in Texas are just changing people's votes from Beto O'Rourke to Ted Cruz, and they elect an official say there's nothing they can do about it.
Well, I like all the officials emoji. Just say the voting machines aren't malfunctioning. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do.
Right.
There's still people, you know, in the aftermath of the massacre who were saying, you know, this is due to tribalism. You know, we need civility. And I want Republicans to denounce Steve King. I want them to denounce Matt Gaetz, whatever his name is, down in Florida. And what do you think is accomplished by that? That you say the words and you're absolved of your sins? You want Republicans to just do ritual penance while staying in power and continuing to rely on a voting base that is now largely made up of explicit white nationalists?
Made up of people who believe every single thing Robert Bauer did is walking through the doors of that synagogue.
Every single thing. It's just like that. Like, oh, yeah, of course, Soros is paying Black Lives Matter to destroy my community. And he's paying for all the caravans that's going to flood America with illegals. And to be a supporter of this version of American nationalism, and to frankly be a supporter of this, you know, global capitalist system, this American hegemony, is to be a white supremacist.
But that's not going to work.
Refugees and even economic migrants to the country is to be a white supremacist. Okay, I'm sorry, that's it. That's what it boils down
to. Fine, but that's not going to work.
I didn't suggest anything. What do you mean what's
I'm
not
just saying
work?
That frame of putting everything in a racial category is not going to get the numbers you need of people to sign on to a left-wing agenda, because there's too many of them are white and not enough white people have an instinctive revulsion to the concept of white supremacy. A lot of them tune out all this bullshit.
Well, that's a problem.
Well, yeah,
obviously.
But you're not going to solve it by scolding people. You need to have an alternative.
What, you think I'm solving anything right now? I'm on a show. I'm on a podcast. Right.
Obviously, none of us are solving anything. I'm just saying that it needs to be framed in terms of pointing out the way to which their agenda harms people in their day-to-day lives and how a different sort of economy would help them. That has to be forward. That has to be the first thing people hear. Because the rest of it, honestly, as much as it's horrible to hear this for somebody who does have, you know, what we consider to be an advanced moral sense, it's just white noise. Pardon the term.
Sure, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I'm just frankly sick and tired of having to brook these compromises with white supremacy that the Democrats have for years now been very much so guilty of.
Well, I saw
with the police when they go along with all of this nationalistic, militaristic nonsense, when they say things like, oh, this is the sort of violence that should be happening in the Middle East, not here.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, I think I saw something in the New Republic today that's like, you know, decent people can support Trump's like tax, blah, 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 and like all these other policies, but not his stoking of, you know, anti-Semitism or violence against the media. And I'm sorry, no decent person can support the Republican tax plan or their fucking immigration policies or any of that. And I one more thing, though, at least as it regards the Democrats and these liberals or resistance people. Here's the other thing I do not want to fucking hear. And it was going on all week, even before this fucking synagogue shooting. Joe Biden in particular, Obama as well, and giving these, they're speaking publicly about this and trying to be statesmanlike. They keep talking about, it's like tribalism, they keep talking about this division in this country, that we're so divided or whatever, and that like the problem is the division and not like one side of it. I'm sorry, the problem in America is not that we're divided. If you're a Democratic politician or anyone with any moral sense, the problem in this country is the Republican Party and the right-wing movement, which it is a vehicle for. They are the problem. They need to be defeated.
Yes.
It's good that we are divided from them, but let's go a little further in terms of, you know, like actually identifying and combating what is the source of this division. I mean, like the fact that people are angry or that our politics are so divided is in and of itself not a bad thing.
Well, no, I mean, it's inherent. Politics is by definition division, because if everyone agreed, you wouldn't need politics. Politics is managing disagreement and conflict. But what's needed to do is not just to say those are the bad guys, but to elucidate explicitly what makes them the bad guys. What is it about their control of the levers of economic power over people's lives, their ability to immiserate the vast majority of people for their aggrandizement and their cynical use of racial resentment and right-wing fascist appeals in order to maintain that. That's what makes them the fucking enemy. That's what makes them the division, because they can't have it all if you have any. They have to take it from you to have it all. And they're going to do anything it takes to make that happen.
I want to respond to what Will noted. The people, the left of center people who say, you can be a decent person and support the tax cuts, but I don't like all this white nationalism stuff. That's where you draw the line. You have to draw some kind of distinction there. And implicit in that is the idea that you can have this economic conservatism, right? You can have this small, deregulated free market state without militarism, without the racialized violence, without the racial caste system in this country. And that's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. That's a liberal fantasy, basically. And you can't, for instance, have the... You can't have this rigid economic and racial hierarchy in this country without mass incarceration. You can't have a prosperous American hegemony without $500 billion in defense expenditure, without torture and violence and murder that we export.
Yeah, there is no a la carte approach to this. It's a totalized system of exploitation that needs to be overthrown. You can't get people who are being fucked over by an economic order to go along with it without a whole lot of cultural grievances and resentment based politics and fear to sort of distract them from it. So there's no honorable Republican Party, because stripped of all that shit, they were on that path before Trump. They were looking into the face of electoral irrelevance. They wrote the paper after 2012 because Romney was the unadorned Republican agenda of, hey, tax cuts. Hey, corporations are people. Hey, business friendly. And he lost. People were like, this guy doesn't care about me. If he saw me, he would fucking hand me his keys because he thought I was a fucking valet. Yeah. And they were panicked about that. And then against their own desire, just by the sheer yearning of the lumpen American reactionaries for someone like Trump, he just gifted them the fucking solution to their problem, saying, I can fucking sell this dog as long as I can give it the pageantry and the spectacle and the racial button pushing that it needs to be appealing to people who would otherwise find it clearly exploitative and not to their benefit.
And back to Bolsonaro, another thing you mentioned earlier, I mean, I think the lesson here with him and Trump, much to my own chagrin, I think what we're learning, I was wrong about it, is when it comes to these figures, there is nobody too stupid or buffoonish or out there who cannot achieve this high, high level of power.
Nope.
Like that illusion is well and gone, yeah. Dead and gone.
No, it's gone. I mean,
and it's one I had up until very recently.
Yeah. I mean, Italy, as often the case, is sort of the canary in the coal mine. We had Berlusconi, a figure who everyone looked at and said, how is the bunga bunga porno TV owner the fucking perpetual prime minister of this country? And then when he fell, he was replaced. The leader of the biggest party now in Italy, the Five Star Movement, is a literal clown. Beppe Grillo, he was a fucking TV clown. Like, he walked around with a big lollipop and a propeller beanie on his head. You know, Bolsonaro was a guy they drag out on the Brazilian TV for years and say, get a load of this dork. Look and listen to him. What an idiot. And now he's the president. There's no limit to it. Because
what you're saying is we need to find who the dumbest person on TV is now and just make them the new left leader.
See, we've thought about this, and I want to talk about it more in a future episode or something, because I honestly don't think that can work for the left. Because those figures
I got Carrot Top on speed dial.
because the strength of the left comes from clarity of purpose, right? It comes from identifying economic, you know, sources of exploitation and misery and identifying the causes of them, and then identifying solutions and trying to speak to the needs of the material needs of people clearly.
I got it. I know exactly who. He's kind of, he's this high kitsch figure today because in the 90s he was on the sitcom where he was, he adopted these three orphans and it was just like very like Full Housey type sitcom. And his career took a downturn. Now he's, you know, addicted to drugs and alcohol.
God damn it.
And he's
Fuck you.
He lives with this guy, Todd, and he's a horse. And his name is Bojack Horseman.
Oh, God, dude. You know, honestly, though, I will form the draft Matthew Lesko super PAC. That's honestly.
Free money, baby. Free money for the government.
Imagine he comes out there in his question mark suit and Donald Trump is like, "You look disgraceful." and people are like, "Oh, you're triggered by his cool suit. You're a pussy, dude. You're Jeb. You suck, dude. Matthew Lesko's the man." That's really like the...
Yeah, that would short-circuit Trump because, you know, he tried to make these like really awful, shitty zingers like people tried on Trump. Like, those question marks should be exclamation points.
Right.
Because you're yelling too loudly.
Right. It's like you beat Jeb, you become him. You'd be like... Donald Trump's voice shifts. He stops moving his hands around. And he's like, "Frankly, I feel like people asking for free money is a symptom of our culture." And Matthew Lesko is just like tossing things out. And he's like, "You could get money to start a boat business. You could even be in a landlocked state doing it." And the crowd's just going crazy. Oh my God. Dude, we're going to have one of those good Dead Zone visions now. Okay.
All right. Hell yes. With me? We need one of these.
Okay. Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the year 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Field Marshal and Emperor for Life Matthew Lesko sits atop an M1 Abrams tank. Mm. The Brazilian military, who are all wearing denim shorts, stare him down. They go, "We want to pave over the rainforest and destroy the biome. We want to get rid of all oxygen because we don't believe in global warming. By the way, we lost the first battle of this war because our back hurt." Field Marshal Lesko goes, "You can get free oxygen now if we fire." The Brazilian military surrenders. "We replant every tree of the Amazon. President Lesko rules over Earth in eternity because he found a free money program to become immortal." Gallagher comes back. He's not racist anymore. Mark Maron is poet laureate. FaZe replaces the New York Yankees as America's winningest team. Everyone's cousin fucks Kate Upton with them. Every story is true.
Oh.
That's my happy Dead Zone
vision.
Oh, the
Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Just think about that. You, the listener, think about that.
Yeah, let's all, if we think about it hard enough, we can make it happen.
Look,
remember the secret?
This is one of those episodes where we talk the gun into yours and our mouths, so... Don't watch BoJack. I've never seen it. It's probably an okay show. I'm going to be honest. But it's going to depress you more. You need to watch Matthew Lesko infomercials. You need to stay in there. Cheer yourself up.
I'd like to recommend a series of YouTube videos I've watched recently, which are Guinness World Record breaking attempts to break open the most amount of walnuts with one's head in under a minute.
They
are really impressive. The guy who just beat the standing record is a Pakistani martial artist, and they have a whole table set up with like a double row of walnuts, and he just goes down it making an incredible noise the entire time, just absolutely just shredding walnuts the entire way down. And I think he does almost 200 in under a minute. It's insane.
Wow.
And his fucking forehead is bleeding. And the whole time he's just like, and he just plowing through walnuts. And like I said, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's going to be us, folks. We're going to plow through the walnuts of fascism with our heads.
What are some other pleasant thoughts we can... It's National Cat Day.
Oh, there's a new character we developed on the stream. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Baron Marin.
I already love it.
So who are your guys? My guy is my dad, the president of the United States. Don't you fucking hate when your dad runs the post office?
Excellent.
Can we get, can I hear just a snippet of FaZe Seymour Hersh?
Okay. And, you know, in skirmish, even though it's supposed to be on land settings, okay, you get lag, like you're playing on EU servers and you're in NA East. It's ridiculous. Okay, you know, I've edited quicker windows on 80 ping, but it's neither here or there. And you know, all day, you know, Cloaksy is going, we can't get any bloom on our ARs. And I'll never forget this. He says, it's not a win if it's not a royal flush. So we take the grappler gun and we take high ground. And I quickscope Liquid 72 Hours, who's a great guy, but he just happened to have low position that day. My aim was better. And then you know, it was great. You know, you had obviously Woodward and Bernstein there, but also Keemstar was there to congratulate us. And you know, a lot of guys can get no scopes, but the point of the 360 no scope is you're showing you can do it any time, and that's what really you know freaked the Nixon guys out.
Oh, I have a last thing. Michael has been saying something that's ruined my brain lately. I feel like I'm going crazy Superman, like the song Kryptonite.
Oh,
I'm going crazy Superman.
Oh, right. If I go crazy, will you still call me Superman? Oh. I'm going crazy Superman. That's good.
All right. So all the problems in the world, I think we're ready to take them on now.
Yeah. No, just everyone, anyone remembers The Secret, close your eyes and think of President for Life, God Emperor Matthew Lesko.
Yeah.
Free money from the government.
Baron Marin.
Yeah.
Faye Seymour Hersh. All your guys.
All of them will be with you.
Lying cousin guy.
Lying cousin guy. Mike Perry.
Yeah. They're all waiting for you in Elysium.
Yeah. Mike Perry. Dude, think about Mike Perry and PAX. Like, really the world. It's not PAX Americana. It's like the peaceful prospect of the world. But he's still like, damn, they still carded me for alcohol.
We got fucking Jupiter space stations and I still got to pay for alcohol. What is bullshit?
Don't. Stay cheerful if you feel like you're forcing it. That's honestly going to make you feel worse. It's like you wake up and you drink an energy drink that should be banned, and then you just crash after 13 hours straight of awful anxiety. Don't force yourself to feel something you don't feel inside. And don't think that there's a baseline of happiness, because there isn't, unless you're just like the perfect, you know, Ohio college football fan dumbass guy. And chances are you're not. You're not that lucky. But, you know, the most desirable baseline is that you face all the awful things that you see every day and you can keep going. That's really all you can ask for. I know I've made fun of this advice when it came from my grandmother. You got to keep going. The advice of people who lived through the Great Depression. But it's true. There is something to it. You know, you can feel shitty. You can feel very hopeless at times. And you can feel, you know, what's the way out. But that is exactly what they want you to think. They do want you to feel fucking beaten down and that there is no joy in your life. And sometimes it is very hard to find that joy.
But just also what I said on during the Ben Sass episode, when I said, like, you know they've won when you stop caring about this shit or you stop feeling sad or angry or depressed about it. Like, there is good reason to feel hopeless. I mean, like, it does feel like fascism, whatever you want to call it, like its vice is just tightening around all of us. And then, of course, the backdrop of catastrophic climate change as well. There's reasons to feel despair, but nihilism is inherently reactionary. Just believing in nothing is handing the keys to the kingdom to all of these assholes.
But try. I think the way to prevent from all this just from becoming morbid or just sort of an self-indulgent despair is to try to act on your beliefs any way you can. I mean, I don't know every listener's situation, so I can't give any kind of blanket advice.
There is a small percentage of listeners who should not act on their beliefs.
But I just think, like, you know, I know this is hard for people who sort of live online, but get offline to the degree that you can and talk to people around you. If you have a job, coworkers, you know, organizing at the workplace, in organizations, campaigns, do something to feel like you're trying to push against the tide, because otherwise you're just gonna get drowned by it.
I will put it this way. I don't know the exact course of the future. Neither do they. But if they were sure that they had already won, they wouldn't want you to stop fucking caring.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Till next time, guys.
Till next time. Let's talk about a movie next time.
Hell yeah.
Actually, I have a great idea.
Yeah, supercomputer, and even Atrash Pro made their millions with the help of government money programs. And you can too. I'm Matthew Lesko, and my new book shows you 15,000 programs you can use to get a better job, get an education, or start your own business. Those who know about the programs are the ones who get the money.
I was able to get money to buy equipment for my business and also a microloan.
The government gave me money to live on for 6 months while I started my own business.
I want every taxpayer to know you get $100,000 to open up a coffee shop or $15,000 to write a novel. You also get $9,000 to take a computer course or get a GED or a PhD.
If I could get $15,000 to go back to school, any woman could do it.
Doing what you want to do in life is like being on vacation every single day. Now, I'll show you how to get the government to pay for it. So call me.
Call this number now for only two payments of $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Get Matthew Lesko's 1,100-page book and 6-hour audio.